Thank you for that prayer. Hey, if you got your Bibles with you, why don't you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to look at that passage. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And I'd like to talk to anybody today who has ever felt that what God has placed on you is hidden. Maybe it's devalued. Maybe it's not appreciated. You know, I right now I'm looking over the congregation. I love this congregation. And when I look at this congregation, we got some dents and we've had some bruises along our journey together. But those dents and bruises make us beautiful. But feeling like you're undervalued in an organization is not limited to just organizations. You can feel undervalued and unappreciated. You can feel like you have hidden talents in your marriage. You can feel like you're undervalued, unappreciated, and have hidden talents in your high school, in your elementary school, in your job search. So if that's you today, this message is for you. But before we get to that and study the scriptures and the story that we're about to look at, could we talk about the sovereignty of God for just a second? because in this passage, if you remember, for those of y'all that have been kind of up to speed on what's going on in the Old Testament, Israel was kind of in a state of crisis because they had this dude by the name of Saul who was king of Israel. And he wasn't really a good king. He was kind of a corrupt king. He had had gross disobedience to some of the commands of the Lord. And Israel got to this point because Israel wanted to be like everybody else. You see, from the time of Moses through the period of Judges, for hundreds of years, God had provided the Israelites a leader. And when someone needed to rise up, they would rise up. God would raise them up. And they would be, and you see them in the book of Judges from Othniel all the way to Samson. You just have this history of multiple judges that God raised up, but the people weren't satisfied waiting around and just trusting God to raise up people when they needed. They wanted to be like all the other nations, and we read in 1 Samuel chapter 8, it was that they wanted a king like everybody else, and they chose Saul. And they chose Saul, among other reasons, because he was head and shoulders above everybody else. So they kind of liked what they saw. And there's a whole different sermon right in that context right there. Just liking what you're seeing. Because, guys, you're going to have to look beneath what you see on the outside when you're looking for a spouse. Girls, you're going to have to look deeper than what you just see on the outside. You're going to have to look on the inside. Or else trouble can come. But what's kind of cool is that even though, and let me just say this. A lot of times, God will not get in front of your choices. I mean, God's plan was not Saul. That was the people's choice. And there are a lot of times that we can choose something, and God is not going to necessarily stand in our way. And sometimes we have to reap what we sow. That's real clear in the Bible. So the Israelites, but that doesn't stop God's sovereignty. And so, you know, if we choose bad and we choose a course of conduct, we may have to reap what we sow, but that doesn't stop God's sovereignty. And the people were reaping what they sown. And then the Lord shows up and it says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Get up, arise, and go anoint someone that I've chosen. And what's kind of cool about this is this God who says, hey, look, man, I've already been at work, even though you didn't know it. And I've chosen somebody that you know have no idea who it is. So even though the people have gone one way, God's been at work in another way. And what's kind of cool is when you read the Bible, he's been at work for a long time for this moment. Because we read about a prostitute by the name of Rahab. Now, Rahab married this dude, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, by the name of Solomon. And Solomon and Rahab had a child by the name of Boaz. And we read about that in Ruth chapter 2. And Boaz married a little girl from a country, a paganess from a country of the Moabites by the name of Ruth. And Ruth and Boaz are the great-grandparents of David. So God has been at work for a long time in anticipation of this moment. Sovereignty is a cool, cool thing. And you know the thing about sovereignty, too, is, you know, God works in providence. God sets boundaries in the parameters. But sovereignty is also very specific, too. The choices of God are very specific. And God has chosen the people. And in this moment, God has chosen his next king. And it's going to happen whether mankind wants it or not. I mean, that's sovereignty. That's kind of cool. So, hey, man, if you're having some trouble right now, I want you to know something. God is still on his throne. God is still in control. And God is working in ways that you do not even know about. He was working with Rahab. He was working with Boaz. He was working with Ruth. He was working in the country of Moab. And there's we are at this moment right now. So he says, hey, Samuel, I want you to get up. And I want you to go and I want you to anoint the person that I have chosen. And then we go down to 1 Samuel 16:11. And Samuel says to Jesse, said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes hither. In other words, hey guys, nothing is going to move until what God chooses gets into position. Now, some of y'all don't even know it, but there are things right now that are out there that are kind of stagnant, waiting on you to arrive. There are ideas, there are businesses, there are opportunities, there are positions or companies that cannot be filled, and they've tried to fill the position, and it's just not working out because you haven't shown up yet. You're going to be the key to some sort of system working. Right now, right here, the nation of Israel, they needed a king, and David had not been anointed yet. Now, he's not going to be king for a little bit, but God's plan for Israel is contingent on this little young man. And what's kind of cool about the sovereignty of God is if you were going to choose the next king, you wouldn't have chosen some boy from some unknown family from some itty-bitty city who was watching the sheep. You just wouldn't have done it. But this is the way God operates. And so, verse 12, and he sent... Jesse did, and he sent and he brought him in, and he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look upon. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And I love the way God operates suddenly. Just out of nowhere, here comes God on the scene, and then all of a sudden, things start to change. And so what I'd like to do and preach for the next few minutes is about this kid who came from nowhere and a God who operates suddenly. Because Samuel just shows up, and God says, hey, man, go anoint somebody that I've already chosen. And this is crazy, because God had chosen David before the people had chosen Saul. You got that? I mean, looking down from Rahab and all these people, and there are times when God is not going to get in front of our choices and we're going to have to suffer the consequences, but that doesn't deter the plan of God in my life. So God allowed Saul to go first because in order for David to become David, he needed Saul. Hey, let's just pause right there for just a second. Can we stop despising Saul? I mean, can we stop hating on the Sauls in our life and the opposition and the disappointments and the bitterness? Because if you're facing opposition and bitterness and disappointment, if you're facing a Saul in your life right now, that makes you a David. So can we just stop hating on the Sauls right now? Because David needed the Saul. And we need disappointment. We need heartache and we need despair in our life because that's part of God's process for making us who we are. So stop spending time hating Saul. So Samuel shows up at Jesse's house and Jesse's like, hey, sons, ha ha, when are you about to be king today? So get lined up. Let's go see the prophets. Now, Samuel, so you know, he was a real prophet. He wasn't one of these prophets that you see on the TV at 3 o'clock in the morning. I see somebody out there got arthritis in their left kneecap. You put water on there and you give money to the screen below, you will be healed. You know, this is a Bible says that when he spoke, people trembled because he had the power of God to back him up. This is a real prophet, and he shows up with some oil in his hand and a word on his lips. He says, Jesse, I'm here to anoint the next king. Jesse's like, ha ha, sons, let's line up. And the Bible says that when Samuel prophesied, you know, here we go, people trembling, and he says, here we go. And so it says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are all thy children here? He says, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said, go unto Jesse, send and fetch him. But before we get to that point, let's back up just a few verses. Verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come, and these are the kids, because Samuel had 8 kids. And it came to pass when they were come that they were, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And here we are, because man looks on the outside. And right now, there may be some of you that have been overlooked. Some of you whose talents have been, you know, just like not seen. Some of you who don't have 5 degrees and a PhD. You don't have the money, so people think they know all there is to think about you, but God has been putting something inside of you. And the first lesson is that the people were being fooled by the external. So they are going with the younger people. So they are going with the people with the extra degree or the extra letters after their name. But God's not fooled, and he's not deterred. I want to encourage you. Number one, don't be fooled by what you see on the outside. Look a little bit deeper, kind of like God. Because here Eliab is. He's Jesse's numero uno. He's the double portion boy. He's the big time boy. He's Jesse's big dog. And everybody, even the prophet, was fooled. And so the Lord's like, hey, I got something to teach you, prophet. It's not necessarily about what you see on the outside. You got to look a little bit deeper. And so what happens? Jesse's like, okay, it's not you, Eliab. Come on, Abinadab. Let's go. Come on, Shema. Let's go. And God says to number one, he says no. God says to number two, he says no way. God says to number three, nada. God says to number four, nine. God says to number five, no. God says to number six, uh-uh. God says to number seven, didn't you hear me the first time? No way. And now we come to number 8. Now, Brother Coy, he preached a great Wednesday night sermon not too long ago, and he went into some of the numbers, and one of the numbers that he preached on was number 7. And even if you weren't at that sermon, I think we all know as a church, number 7 is kind of the biblical number of completeness. Everything's done. Everything was created. Everything. Number 7 is the number of completeness. Well, number 8, well, hold on. Let's back up number 7. Number 7 is the number of completeness. And what God had given them for those 7 was a complete no. I see all these 7. No. And so now we come to number 8. Samuel's like, don't you have any other kids? And Jesse's like, yeah. You know, I mean, these are all the kids that I would have chosen. Yeah. But there is another one, the youngest, he's in the field. I mean, I notice the biblical way that Jesse's handling this, right? He doesn't even name David. We don't even know David's name yet. It's the youngest, and oh, by the way, he's in the field. So he's like, hey, David! David's like, yes, sir. Come on in, because the prophet wants to see you. And I'm sure as soon as he sees you, he's gonna realize what a mistake he's made. Come on in. And David comes on up from the field. Now, I want to pause real quick. If 7 is the number of completeness, 8 in the Bible has been kind of representative of the number of new beginnings. Because on the 8th day, children were circumcised. There were 8 people that were put on the ark. There are eight writers of the New Testament. And you see the number eight used time and time again, and it's always kind of symbolic of the new beginning, a fresh start. Here we're going to go again. And so, but you know, you don't always feel that in the moment. I mean, in the moment, sometimes you feel undervalued. Sometimes you feel unappreciated. Sometimes you feel like what God has given you is hidden. And you question your calling. Because David, in the moment, he's just number eight. I mean, he's just out there in the field. He's tending the sheep. And when the prophet was coming to the house, he wasn't even invited. He was the one that says, you go do the menial work, and we're going to stay here, and we're going to receive the prophet. You're not important enough. You just step aside, Cinderella. This is what we're going to do. Take care of the house. And I don't know right now if maybe I'm dealing with some eights. You kind of feel unappreciated in some area of your life, or you feel like, I want to encourage you. Don't give up. Don't give in. God has a plan, and he's working it. And you might not see it right now. And maybe it's even like, and I do know. I do know there's people that I preach to that come from difficult circumstances. Their father wasn't good, or maybe their mother was disconnected, or maybe they were struggling, or maybe they were put down and subject to emotional or mental abuse or even physical abuse. I want to let you know that your circumstances do not dictate who you are. There are no illegitimate children in the family of God. There's only illegitimate circumstances, right? Because you don't get to sneak onto the earth. You have to be spoken onto the earth. David was here for a purpose. David's purpose had been started generations beforehand, where God was just so sovereignly moving. And we come into a moment. But prior to this moment, because Jesse screams out, David! David says, yes, sir, come on into the house. Yeah, that's the last moment that David would walk and not be anointed a king. Because the anointing was coming and David was to be the king. And it was going to make a difference in his life. And as he's out there in the field, what's he doing? I mean, what's the next king of Israel doing? The next king of Israel is guarding sheep and writing songs. I don't know what kind of songs he's writing. I mean, some of the psalms we know, but I mean, you're guarding sheep. Ba, ba, black sheep, come on. Not exactly kingly things necessarily, right? At least not from the worldly perspective. But here he comes on up and he's just doing his job well. He's coming up because there is an anointing about to happen. Let's get a little bit theological for just a second. David was chosen before he was anointed. David was chosen because the Lord said, Samuel, take the oil because I have prepared unto me. I've chosen the next king. And can I say that if you're part of the family of God, and you are, God's chosen you. The Bible says that according to he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children according to the by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. So as chosen people who are chosen before the foundation of the world, not because of anything we did, not because of anything we said, not because of anything we acted, not because of anything we believe, but solely because God is sovereign and God is good. He's chosen us. And there will come a time in the life of children when the Holy Spirit will enter your life. And John chapter 3 talks about it. And Jesus says, you know, the Holy Spirit's like the wind. Comes where it wants to. It goes when it wants to. And no man can control it. You don't get control of the Holy Spirit by saying, I accept, so come on in. You don't control the Holy Spirit. It acts according to the decrees of God. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it brings spiritual life, Ephesians 2 and 1. And you hath he quickened who are dead in your sins and trespasses. And once you have the Holy Spirit and once you have that spiritual life, you are an anointed child of God with the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, John is talking about there. He's talking about, you know, in the latter times, antichrists, plural, shall come. Now, I know that the Left Behind series has screwed up a lot of your theology. and you think that the Antichrist is a singular beast with 666 tattooed across his forehead who's walking around going, like that. That's an unbiblical view. The Antichrist, there is a beast, but that's different than the Antichrists, which the Bible talks about. In 1 John, it talks about Antichrists being doctrines which oppose Jesus. That's the biblical view of what an Antichrist is. And so 1 John chapter 2, he's talking about there are Antichrists that have come into the world and they're opposing you, but you have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let me just go there real quick. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. He says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you have need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is in truth, and is in no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Can we just dive on that one for just a second? Because it's kind of weird, because it's like, hey man, you've got the Holy Spirit, you've been anointed with the Holy Spirit, it's inside of you, and you have no need of any man to teach you. Well, that's kind of weird, because when they were setting up the early church, they gave some apostles, some preachers, some teachers. So why'd you give us teachers if we have no need for a person to teach us? That's kind of weird. And what's actually going on is, and if you see the context of it, is God has given biblical teachers to help grow us and mature us into the Spirit and through the Word of God and biblical preaching. And we can grow. But he is saying there are some false teachers out there. And when they're teaching, there is the Holy Spirit inside of you to say, that's not quite right. I can't tell you why that's not right. But that's not quite right. And the Holy Spirit can guard your heart. And what's kind of cool is the Spirit doesn't leave you. That anointing doesn't leave you. That ability to say, that's just not right. I'm not going to fall for that. Nuh-uh, that's clap. That's just not, we're not going to do that. I said clap, C-L-A-P. that's just not right. So, brothers and sisters, every single one of y'all have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And there's so many different things we could talk about, the anointing and things like that. But here's the one thing I wanted you to carry away from it. It doesn't leave you. And it's designed to help you know when things are right and things are wrong. So when you're facing opposition and you're facing the Sauls in your life and you're facing distress and persecutions, hold on to the Word of God. Don't let go of the Word of God. I say this because I had a conversation not too long ago about somebody that was just, his faith had been rocked a little bit and things were a little kind of, and I looked at him and I said, no matter what happens, I want you to know this. Hang on to Jesus, because even though there's some smart people that are opposing us as Christians, there's a lot of smart people that are with us. But even more important than that is you know in your heart because you've met Jesus Christ. Hold on. Don't let go. Fight the good fight. And I'm praying for this person. As I pray for each of one of y'all, that you don't get easily dissuaded by these. Psst. I'm not going to go there. Let's get back on message. David had an anointing of God because he was chosen of God. You have an anointing of God because you were chosen of God. But this is the last time. And he says, hey, David, come on in from the field. And he goes through each of the sisters. And this is what the word of the Lord says. It says, and he sent and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And man, I got to tell you something right here. Can I tell you as a young teenage boy, I loved that passage. Because in the previous passage, it was like, hey, Samuel, don't be fooled by what's on the outside. And for years, I heard these sermons. Oh, you can't be fooled by what. Just because somebody's good looking doesn't mean they're godly. And I'm like, oh, I got to marry an ugly person to find a godly person. I don't necessarily want. Now, here's David. He's all godly and good looking. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Y'all think I'm kidding. I thought that way. I'm not right in the head. So I found my redhead good-looking person who was godly, and I was thankful. Then Samuel took the horn of the oil. Well, no, he said he sent and brought him in. Now he's ruddy and withal of beautiful countenance, goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Whew. That's powerful. This is one. Everybody stopped. And there was something that happened just before that. And Samuel said unto Jesse, and we read at the very beginning, are all these their children? There remainest yet the youngest, you know, there's the youngest. I mean, these are all the kids that I would choose, but there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come thither. You know what's going on right there? Is Samuel is actually conveying honor to David. Because you stand in the presence of authority. You know, when a judge comes into the courtroom, all rise. You know, we do that. National anthem's being played, you know, out of reverence and respect. Stand, Colin. And it says, hey, guys, he's coming in from the fields. And Samuel says, stand, because we're not sitting down until this cat gets here. Now, this is kind of cool. David comes on in, and the Lord says, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Here's what I don't want you to miss. And if I lost your attention, I want you to give it back to me. If you're looking at your cell phone, give it back to me for just a second. When David walked in from the field, he was sweaty, he was dusty, and he had the stench of a shepherd on him. And there was no pause. There was no, hey, David, why don't you clean up, man, before you get anointed? Why don't you wash off that stench and why don't you change clothes? Because what we're about to do is a holy thing. God didn't say that. God saw him. God said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Now, there are some of y'all right now, your pastor included, you got some dust on you. You got a little bit of dirt on you. Maybe you got a little bit of stench from a former life on you. Can I let you know that that's part of your witness of Jesus Christ? That your faults and your failures and the dents, that's part of your mission. So that when other people in the world who are dusty and dirty and sweaty and dented, when they see you, they can relate to you. That this thing called Christianity and Jesus Christ, it's just not for the super clean and the super, you know, the people that can fix it, and the people that got it all together, the, you know, the homeschool, bacon bread, mother of five who doesn't sweat and doesn't need deodorant. It's not just for them. That Jesus is for the messy and for the messed up and for the hurting and for the struggling. So I hope that we will embrace our bruises and our dents. I hope that we're going to embrace our struggles and our despairs. I hope that we don't shy away from them, and I hope we don't hide them, because it is there that the power of God and the anointing of God finds its greatest strength. I mean, this is good stuff, people. Help me preach it. Because rise and anoint him. You don't have to be cleaned up right now. And right now, I got a feeling that I'm preaching some number eights. That maybe right now, you might feel like you're a little bit dirty, you're a little bit dinged up, that nobody recognizes your talent, and maybe you feel like your life is just going to be looking at the backside of sheep. That's not an exciting thing. But you know, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard things that God has prepared for us. We are going to a heavenly place. And on this earth, God has plans for our life. He does. So don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't give in. Don't take shortcuts. Just trust in the providence of God. Now, if you'll allow me a little bit of liberty and license here, I've got this feeling here. And the scriptures don't say it. As a matter of fact, the very next scene that we see in this is that David is actually in the household of Saul. And I don't know how he got there. I just have this impression that after this ceremony, David's like, hey, Dad, yeah, can I get back up to the field now? Can I get back to doing what I was doing before? Maybe it didn't go that way. Maybe it went another way. That's just kind of the way I'm seeing it, because here's the thing about David. He had a heart for service. And when you do things in secret, God will bless you in public. So, you know, for the church here, hey, even if you're not a deacon, can you still pick up trash? And even if you don't get a star on your name tag, will you still clean the grill at the local Wendy's restaurant? And when you're at school, will you still give the extra moment to the kids and your household? Will you still do the acts of service? Because those things that are hidden in secret and that you do in secret that nobody sees, God sees and God blesses. And David had been an act of service all his life, and God said, now's the time when we're just going to reveal it. Everybody's going to see it. That's the kind of heart that I can use. That's the kind of heart that I want. And David had the most interesting title in all of Scripture. He's called the man after God's own heart. Why is that? Because he had a heart of service. So if you're struggling right now, I got a question for you. Do you have a heart of service? Or are you so focused on the recognition that you're not getting? Do you have a heart of service, or are you so focused on what you're about to achieve? If you just kind of turn inward, because God is more concerned about what's going on in the inside of you than he is on the outside of you. If you'll start focusing on that, things will start happening within. Hey, I got a question for you, because, you know, I got a feeling I'm preaching some number eights. Some people that might feel undervalued and unappreciated. Am I preaching some number eights? Because here's the thing. I know y'all look at me, well, John, baby, you're a 10. No, no. I'm an 8. No, or maybe that's just Maria. I hope. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all 8s. We're all undervalued. We're all at times unappreciated. We are often overlooked because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are part of the adopted family of God, and that makes a difference.